I'm here with Peter Gardner, who's the writer of a piece called Bully Beef. And also Russell Shaw is in costume. I don't know if you're about to go and attack anybody's, but stay here because you might have something to say, Russell. But tell us about Bully Beef, particularly then as a writer, the moment when this started to happen in your life, and before that there was no Bully Beef. When was the moment you sort of started writing this, and why?
I read a true story about a British World War One tank crew whose tank broke down in no man's land, and they had to survive 5 days out there under constant siege from the German soldiers.
Okay, slight rewind. So you are the sort of person that was reading books about tanks and wars.
Yeah.
So yeah, was there an interest behind that?
No, just a war nerd, I think.
Oh, you're a war nerd?
Yeah,
okay, yeah.
And
I'm surrounded by actors who look like soldiers, too, and I'm sure they are. Hi. So then when you decide I'm going to write a play, what's the process of writing a play for you?
Well, I'd already written a load of audio dramas, which are like plays in a way. And then I thought, and last year I did a live performance of three of my audio dramas at a small festival called Hovegrown. So I thought the next logical step is do Fringe.
Yeah, and Hovegrown's for new writing. I guess you got some feedback, and have you worked on it further?
On Bully Beef?
Yeah.
So Hovegrown was actually a different project that I did.
Okay, so
but it kind of gave me the taste for it. I thought, you know,
so it gave you the taste to do put another thing on the stage.
Something else, something bigger, something louder.
Yeah.
And that's what Beef is.
Okay, and then as the writer, have you had any other roles other than being the writer?
Director as well. I mean, I direct. Well, I'm directing this play. I've directed audio dramas, directed short films, feature length films, that kind of thing.
Slightly sort of tongue in cheek question, but how did the writer and the director get on with each other?
Terribly. There's a lot of hatred.
But did you have to make choices from a director's perspective that, you know, involves some, you know, uncomfortable news for the writer?
Not really. I've never been that attached to my writing. I'm happy just to throw loads of it out when we come and film something.
Okay, so did the script change during the rehearsals?
Oh, a ton. Yeah, okay. A lot.
So, Russell, you've acted in a lot of stuff. What's it like when the director suddenly kind of says, oh, okay, we're going to do it this way, and then the writer says, I need to go away and rewrite this, and you just learn the lines?
Oh, Paul, you always put me on the spot. Can you repeat the question?
Well, you know, okay, that's a great answer for a soldier.
Thank you.
But, you know, was it easy having the writer and the director in the room in the form of one person?
Yeah, I think Peter Gardner and Dan Skell are the guys behind this. They work really well together. They really do bounce off each other, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to work with them. I think they have a fantastic vision for this play.
Don't start bigging it up to PR. I know you can't help it.
Yeah, I can't help it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Describe a rehearsal for me.
I trust the guys. Rehearsal. Well, we are watching lots of videos at the moment, basically about how it was for soldiers in a Mark IV tank, their life, how the cramped conditions, the conflicts that went on within the soldiers within the tank.
So that's
research about Lotnagar mine. Just lots of research, really. Yeah, I think we've got someone coming, an actual soldier, to spend some time with us, speaking to us as well, and sort of like learning about him and the life and how it works and life in those times, really. And it's great to be able to present that in this form.
And that piece happened to me quite a few years ago. I had a play set during the Blitz in London.
Okay.
And then, you know, pensioners from Brighton in their war medals came and sat in the front row.
Wow.
And that was like a real bonus.
Nice. Well, we're doing World War One, so I don't think we'll get many veterans,
get
unfortunately.
But you might get some more war geeks, I guess.
Yeah, hopefully.
So tell me a bit more about that research. Have you been in one of the tanks, for example?
Me and Dan did go up to a tank museum and gave it a quick look over, and then it was just reading a lot of tanks, because we've gone for a very specific model, which is called the Mark IV tank, which was debuted at the Somme, if you can say debuted. That's a weird way of saying it, like it's a pop song. But yeah, it was just reading a lot of books, a lot of online, to get all the specifications, because it's to scale, and everything in the tank is what would have been in an actual Mark IV tank.
So in terms of the World War One, and you know, the march of noisy humanity at the moment, what is it about World War One that we still need to know about and remember?
Well, I mean, it was the beginning of the 20th century in a lot of ways. It was a complete destruction of several empires. The ramifications of it we still live with today. I mean, physically, the occasional French farmer still gets blown up when his plough goes over a bomb.
Yeah.
So it's still going to be with us for a long time. Obviously, it's the 100-year 100 year anniversary, so I think there's still a lot of reflection to be done.
And you sort of, you know, call yourself a war geek, but what is it that particularly interests you about that and has made you write a play about it?
I suppose how it crashes with human nature, how it almost, like, I don't believe in fate or destiny, but when you look at war, it seems that way. Like, if you look at how when Princep was eating a sandwich and the Archduke of France, Archduke's car broke down outside his cafe and he shot him in the back of the head, yeah. Things like that, you read about it. And
yeah, and there's a bunch of conspiracy theories about all of that, why the First World War started and what the real motives were and all that kind of
well,
stuff.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think there were some conspiracies. I think there are lots of people who had ulterior motives and unfortunately, yeah.
In terms of any influences on you out there, either in theatre or film, do you think that some of the films, going right back to things like All Quiet on the Western Front, do you think they, in your view, capture the truth of it?
It depends on the film. I think for this one, the one I read, I don't know, like 20 times, was Journey's End, which I think is amazing. And it was written by a veteran and it captures everything. There was a BBC drama on it, which was really good. There's a film of it recently, which I actually didn't like. I think they were way off the mark with it. They got made it really angry and shouty.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Journey's End is probably the best depiction of war.
And finally, what would your invitation be then to... There's a whole bunch of people walking past us all looking for shows to see. What would be your invitation for them to come and see Bully Beef?
I would say it's an original play that's premiering at Brighton Fringe. It's been shortlisted by New Writing South as one of the 10 best original plays at Brighton Fringe. It's fully lit, it's fully scored, it takes place in New Scale Tank. And if that doesn't sell it to them, normally I kind of just grab hold of their shirt and start shoving flies in their pockets.
Thanks for talking to Fringe Review.
That's all right, thanks.